You know, on Saturday, I went out to dinner with three friends of Wirebuzz, three Wirebuzz teammates, and my wife and I, and we sat around, we drank wine, we were in the desert, just enjoying as the sun went down and had some great laughs. And somebody said, hey, you know, I know you went through hell and back with your learning disabilities, but I've never really heard you explain what you went through and what it was like and then how you got through that. Like, you've always glossed over that part. And so I figured if I've never shared it with them and I'm with them every day, I've probably never shared it with you.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
All right, all right. I'm going to bare some of my soul in this episode. Here's something I don't really talk about very often. By the way, I'm standing in the middle of the Wirebuzz office because there ain't nobody here. It's a typical day. It's just you and me. But Saturday night when we were at dinner and people were asking me, I thought, well, I should probably tell you too as a listener of the podcast. Look, I went through some really screwed up years when I was younger. And I'll first tell you what I got diagnosed in fourth grade with multiple learning disabilities, ADD, which there wasn't an ADHD back then. It was just attention deficit disorder. So I probably have ADHD, but I was never clinically diagnosed. But in fourth grade, it was really obvious because I was in an accelerated school. And before I knew it, everybody started just blazing past me. And it was almost as if I was walking and everybody else was running. And I started seeing them leaving me behind. And my teacher didn't know what to do. By the way, this is like, I don't know, 1980. Yo, he's old. It's like 1980. And they're just the skills that for teachers, they just weren't there. And my parents didn't know what was going on. They just knew that I wasn't keeping up and that my demeanor was turning more and more negative and I was more frustrated on a daily basis. And as I would come home and do homework, it would become an argument every single night. God love my parents for their patience and their love and their perseverance. But every night it was like a battle royale on spelling words. And we would study that spelling test that would come up at the end of the week because my family, like, we're all overachievers. And the thought that I couldn't put in the time or couldn't remember the order of the letters was, it wasn't that it was unacceptable. It was like, we all know repetition's the mother of skill. Let's just get taught into repetition. But it was obvious to everybody after a while that this wasn't a sustainable experience because we all, my parents and I, and even my older sisters, just battled it out on a nightly basis. And the frustration grew and I would study the words and I'd go and write the words a thousand times and come back into the room and then take the test again. And I couldn't remember the orders because candidly with my dyslexia, the letters were just going all over the place and it was wildly out of control. I also had something that's called visual and auditory perception impairments. That's where you take, like, let's just talk about the visual and don't worry about the auditory. Just know that it's the same thing, but I do it with what I hear, not with what I see. So with the visual perception impairments, I would read words and I'd read the sentence, but the perception impairment is that I would grab words from three lines above and two lines below and somehow jam them into the sentence that I was reading. Example, if I was reading John F. Kennedy saying, "We choose to go to the moon, not because it is easy, but because it is hard." What I would have read is, "We choose to," and I would have grabbed the word "not" from four sentences above, pulled it in. "We choose not to go to the moon, not because it is easy, but because it is hard." And that would change the whole thing. Like, you'd read that and you'd go, well, so did we go to the moon or not? I mean, it says we choose not to go to the moon. Did we go or not? And that would be the level of frustration that would happen with every sentence and every paragraph. And by the end of the day, you are frigging cooked and irritated and just frustrated beyond belief. So my parents never gave up on me. And I'm so fortunate that they made sure the schools didn't have any resources. Didn't matter. We were going to a private school. I was getting left behind. They didn't have anything like that. I was seen as a troubled kid. So my fourth grade desk was my teacher's desk. I literally shared the same desk as my teacher. My chair was in the walkway. If somebody came to the door to like drop a note, like a student dropped a note from another teacher to my teacher, and that door would open, I'd be humiliated because I'm either a problem child or too dumb or whatever goes through your head. But from that moment forward until I was in my junior year of college, my obsession was making sure that the girls that I was attracted to never knew that I wasn't keeping up. And if the door opened up in fourth grade and a cute girl walked in, instant humiliation. And that kind of started me on a really destructive path of just not believing in myself and thinking that I wasn't smart enough. And I was in, from that point forward, all of the slow kid classes. Not the general population classes, but the classes with the kids that you know what they look like. They're not keeping up in one way or another. And it was a very sad world because when I'd get into the playground or out on the baseball field or playing basketball, I was one of the better athletes. I was one of the sharper kids verbally, but in the classroom, it was a whole different Todd, a different experience. And I was depressed and humiliated. And that was my existence for a very long time. And fortunately for me, the University of Arizona had the SALT Center. SALT Center is now celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. And I got accepted into the SALT Center at the University of Arizona. My parents both went to the U of A and they knew of the SALT Center. So when it was my time, I submitted and I got accepted. I had a long record of testing that demonstrated that I had a lot of abilities, but I didn't have, you know, I had some learning disabilities that got in the way. Fortunately, the SALT Center specializes in, and here's the acronym, Strategic Alternative Learning Techniques. That's what SALT stands for. And I'll give you an example. By like all the way through college, I resisted, even though I was paying for it, and I paid it off by the time I was 36 years old. But I paid for it, but didn't use the services. I was humiliated to go into the building. And the reason was, again, I didn't want anybody to know that I wasn't able to compete. So I was my own worst enemy. And eventually, in my junior year at the University of Arizona, I said, all right, I think I'm ready for help. And here's how it happened. Now, SALT has learning specialists that are assigned to like 25 students each. And by your 3 years or 4 years, that learning specialist pretty much knows you like the back of their hand, and they are working to unravel what your disability is and help you come up with strategic alternative techniques so you could crush it like a boss. So I would go in and meet with my specialist, but I wouldn't use the services because I wanted to take the tests where my friends were, and I wanted to, I didn't want to take my tests verbally. I wanted to take my tests and try to compete. And eventually I caved in when my learning specialist said to me, so dude, what do you want to do when you get out of here? And I said, well, I want to be an investigative reporter. And she said, cool. Like when are you going to get started with that? And I said, well, when somebody hires me. And she goes, really? You're going to wait to start developing your investigative reporter skills until somebody hires you? Isn't that a little late? Shouldn't you start now? And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, what if you became an investigative reporter inside of the classroom? And you're investigating what's going to be on the test. And I thought, damn, that's exciting. I could do that. I'd be interested. And she said, Todd, where do you sit? And I said, I sit in the sixth row in the outside. And she said, do you understand the psychology of the way grades are distributed inside of a classroom? And I had no idea. She said, took out a piece of paper and she drew the 6-8 lines of the classroom, the rows. And she said, all right, front row, these kids all get A's. The second row, they get A's and B's. The third row gets B's and C's. The fourth row gets C's and D's. And where do you sit? And I said over right here, row six. And she goes, oh yeah, D's. What's your GPA? You're sitting in the right place. Now, if you want to improve your grades, move up to the front row. You'll have less to focus on. Why are you sitting in the back there? I go, well, I like to look and observe the room and see how people are. She's like, that's too much. An investigative reporter would get down right down to it, put themselves in the primary spot. So I did that. Things started to change. She also said to me, what's the, tell me more about your issue with your eyes when you're reading and the words that it pulls in your visual perception impairments. And I showed her what was happening, and she reached into her drawer, in the top drawer. She took out a flashcard and an X-Acto knife, and she cut out one line in the center of the X-Acto knife, perfect for a textbook. So the rest of the card was solid, but there was one spot, so I could go one sentence at a time. And as I did that, she goes, do you still see the words from the other line? I said, no. And she goes, that's your strategic alternative solution for reading. Read this way every time. And in doing so, literally light bulbs went off. My life was changed. And I owe it all to the SALT Center because, look, these are small things and I'm condensing it for one episode, but they did this for me over 4 or 5 years in college and radically transformed my life. I went from somebody who never read out loud to somebody who a few years later was reading out loud as a breaking news reporter on the number one station in Arizona on KTAR. And as I was reading out loud in front of a couple hundred thousand people, I'd say, can you believe you're effing reading right now on the radio when just a couple of years ago you would have never done this before? Now, the reason you might think that I've got like motivation or I've got confidence is I went through a lot of hell along the way and just decided that I'm not going to put myself through any of that negativity. I'm going to be a bright light for hope for myself and for other people. I'm going to every day continue to exercise my weaknesses and develop my strengths. So my big message for you is there's nothing you can't do if you put your mind to it. There isn't any type of radical transformation you can't create for your life and get yourself to the next level if each and every day you work proactively to go next level and to take your life seriously and get yourself to the place where you can live your friggin' dreams. Peace.